How's that? Everybody hear me? Whoa. Is that okay? Too loud? I want to make sure Daryl hears this message. Daryl, can you hear me? He usually falls asleep about halfway through. What bothers me is he brags on the sermon afterwards. And I say, brother, you slept halfway through it. I don't understand. So in a lot of churches, I still sound like I'm way too loud. Just a little bit. Turn me down just a little. In a lot of churches, the fear of many of the adults are that we're one generation from extinction. Right? That may have crossed your mind as we think about Kasilov Church and we look around and go, okay, well, if we don't get some people in church and get some people to follow God, if we don't hand the baton off, well, then there won't be a church. Right on? So if you're here this morning and you're, I'm going to go ahead and bump it up to 30. If you're 30 years old or younger, would you just stand up real quick? If you're 30 years old or younger, okay, 31, I hear 32, okay, all right, good, all right, you can have a seat, all right. I'm so proud of our youth being here this morning. I'll talk about them at the end of my sermon, but it's so cool, they get to make it on Sunday. You don't get to see these youth on Wednesday nights. We have a row full, but on Wednesday nights we have about three rows full. And a lot of them can't be here on Sundays, so we make the most of Wednesday nights, and we meet for about 3.5 hours usually. And so make sure to speak to them and hang out with them before they leave, and realize that all of the young couples God has brought us, Dave, Donjali, we thank God for you, and we're glad you're here, amen, and to be the leaders of the next generation. And I have my eye on you because my kids will be sitting under your teaching and your leading and follow your example. So let's begin this morning by going to the Lord in a word of prayer. Are y'all awake? Everybody looks like you're sobering up from Christmas or something. You've got an eggnog hangover. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to pray for our kids that just left and went next door to learn about you. Pray for our teachers and those leaders. I think it's awesome, God, how you raise up people to serve the kids, to love on the kids, and to just have a heart for the kids as you did. And I pray these time they're together that you'll implant something in their hearts that'll grow and grow and grow into maturity, and they'll become followers of Christ. Bless them during this time. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. I pray that you'd guide us through the scriptures, and that you would speak to us uniquely as we need you to speak to us, God. Hide me behind the cross, Holy Spirit, and speak to my heart and speak through me. For it's in the sweet name of Christ I pray. Amen. Take your copy of God's Word and go with me to the book of Matthew. Perhaps a familiar passage, but one God's laid on my heart for today, and the songs that are always chosen always confirms that. Thank you for leading. Now, we're in church, so we have to be honest, right? I mean, because sometimes people say, you're in church. You can't say that in church. Well, let's pretend that's true, and we have to be honest in church. How many of us, from time to time, have trouble getting our prayers going? Just getting started. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like, you're shifting and you're grinding like somebody just trying to learn how to drive a stick shift, and you're dragging and you're taking off real slow. You're bumping, and then when you get going, it's like, and then you're driving too long in first gear, and then you maybe get it in second gear, but you're still dragging. You still just can't get it to plane out. You can't get it to in the overdrive. You can't make it to that gear that you want to, so that there's flow in your prayer journey. You're still with me, right? I'm in the right place. Okay, so we all struggle with that. We all have difficult times sometimes with just getting started. I mean, you feel like the guy on the cartoon who's trying to bust the door down. He runs against it, and then he backs up and he goes again. And he backs up further and he goes again. It's almost like we're trying to knock a wall down. And if you're a Christian, you're like me. It's like, okay, Lord, I've been a Christian a long time. I love you, but this talking to you thing is hard. It's just something sometimes it doesn't seem to come natural. And I think the reason is because it's a supernatural event. It's a supernatural conversation and dialogue that we're having. And we can't always just run into it in the natural. I think there's obviously preparation sometimes that needs to take place before we enter into a time of a conversation or dialogue with the Lord. I tried to illustrate this point one time. I think I was pastoring my first church. Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't first church. I guess it was Moultrie's, like a second church we ever pastored. And they had built this huge, huge, massive sanctuary. And for whatever reason, they built these huge ceilings and wood, and it was a circle around. I think the ceilings were 30 foot high. And so I'm always game for like a new sermon illustration or something. So we had this, what do you call those little buckets that rise up? What's the right name for them? You get in the bucket and you go up and put a light in or something. What are they called? A man lift. Okay. So we had this man lift there, and it just quickly made it through my brain, I'm going to use this for Sunday church, because I'm talking about how to get your prayer through the ceiling. So I made this Acme, put this big sign on it, ACM, this Acme, like, you know, from the Roadrunner. This Acme, get your prayer through the ceiling lift is what it was. And I thought, this is going to be the coolest thing. So this was a monstrous man lift. It needed to be to carry me, right? Amen? Be careful. So as we're going in with the man lift, I never tried it out beforehand. And sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes those things are really valuable to us. And this time I didn't try it out, so I'm just going to get in and go up. And I was so excited, and I had the music from the back. They had this sound booth, and I said, okay, I want you to do Stephen Curtis Chapman, Let Us Pray, Let Us Pray. Y'all heard that before. It's a cool song. I said, when I'm going up, hit play, it's going to be awesome. And so, and I'm going to teach people how to get their prayers through the ceiling, including me. And so I got in the chairlift, and there just happened to be, this is backstory, there just happened to be a little kid there that was visiting with his dad, and he said, Dad, I'm tired of going to this church. I want to go somewhere where church is not boring. Well, this particular day, it wasn't going to be boring. He found that out. And so I get in the chair, the man lift, and he started playing the music. He rises up, and I'm just standing there holding up. I mean, it's not like you can do a whole lot while you're going up. I mean, you just, like, what do you do? So you're just going, climbing up, climbing up, climbing up, climbing up. And pretty soon I started to feel like I was at Six Flags, like on a big ride that I shouldn't have been on, one of those you regretted. At about 15 feet. Now, I don't know how tall is a story? So it's like three stories high when I get to the top. Rising, and I start to feel the heat in my head. I mean, it's just this whole experience, and it wasn't a spiritual experience I was having. Because I was getting higher, it was getting hotter up there, and I'm like, seriously, in my heart, I'm going, dear God, please help me. I mean, what have I done? And it was like the Lord saying, you're going to help them get the prayers through the ceiling. That's what you're going to do. Seriously. So, it's going up, the music's going, getting higher and higher. We're at 20 feet, 25 feet. When you get at 25 feet and you carry my weight in a man lift, let me say this, stability leaves. It's gone. And the chair starts feeling a little shaky. So I would move a little bit, and my weight does shift a little. And when I did, the chair just started going. And I'm like, I could dream of all sorts of ways of dying, God, for you. But not here, please. Not now. Not from 30 foot up. I mean, I'll leave a crater in the floor. So up, 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 up. And about, we top out about 26, 27 feet, enough that I could touch the ceiling. And that was when I was supposed to do my talk. You know, I'm up there now. And I had this cool little intro that I'm going to speak on about getting your prayers through the ceiling. And I know I sound like a whiny little kitty cat up there trying to talk. No authority, no anything. Just like, dear God, I want to go down. And so, as I'm speaking, okay, here's how you get your prayers through the ceiling. And I'm looking down there. There's some sweet, dear, elderly ladies down there going, that boy gonna fall. I want just in case. And it was like it was gonna be the end. Fortunately, it wasn't. And they got me down from that thing. I never made a big deal of it. It was just like, it was all cool. Yeah. How'd you like that? With great humility in my heart. Thanking God for letting me get back to ground. So the boy that visited our church that Sunday was not bored, and I wasn't either, but my legs were like crossing each other. I was so shaky when I got to the ground to preach the rest of the sermon. And so it was like, how to get your prayers through the ceiling? And because sometimes it feels like we're hitting a wall. Anybody ever hit that wall before? Like you just, like, we jokingly say, sometimes I'll ask Jeremiah, we're praying next door at Rocky's over a meal or something, say, Jeremiah, you think you can get one through? He's like, better than you. Whatever, something smart aleck, non-Jesus encouragement. So, and I don't think we're the only one that struggle with that. I think we look at the disciples' life, or as Mother Medea says, the disciplines, the disciples. And if you look up Mother Medea teaches how to pray. That was this cool video. I didn't show it this morning for sake of time, but it's like a 3-4 minute clip, and Medea's trying to teach her grandkids how to pray, and she's got it all so wrong. But it's funny listening to her try to tell her kids how to pray. And basically says it's just talking to God. But disciples had a lot of questions for Jesus, I'm sure. If we start rolling through our mind real quick, what do disciples asked Jesus about? Can anybody think real quick some things that they asked Jesus, like, Lord, how do you pray. Oh, there it is, the first one. How do you pray? And all the questions, you know, some might would have thought, well, I want to ask him about preaching. I want to ask him how to do the miracles. I want to ask him how we do these other things. But this particular time, Lord teaches how to pray. Why they go to him was typical. It was normal for rabbis then to have some written out prayers or some model prayers that people could pray. And sometimes, as we talk about struggling getting our prayer started, it's helpful to have a model. When I was a kid and preachers would read prayers, my dad would always go, you can't read a prayer. You got to pray it from your heart. And I get that. I do. There are times when I'm just moved by the Spirit and I pray and I feel like I just need to talk. I don't need to read something. But there are also times where I feel like I need to read something to kind of get me going. The Psalms is a helpful place for me, especially if you're going through something difficult, you read the Psalms. Or if you're like David being chased from an enemy, and you want to pray the prayer of David. Or if you're feeling really revengeful and you want to pray, Lord, mow them down like the grass or the weed of the field, then you could do that, I suppose. But honest prayers from David in the Psalms is like, Lord, Here's what's in my heart. Here's how I feel. And Lord, have you abandoned me? Lord, have you left me? Lord, are you coming back? Lord, are you going to save me? Lord, why is this happening? And just the vulnerability of David in the Psalms of praying those prayers gives us a great model. We don't have to pray exactly how they prayed, but a model. And then when the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, he did exactly the same thing, right? I mean, he gave them a model. We call it what? The Lord's Prayer. I've read several people who said it really shouldn't be called the Lord's Prayer because it's the disciples' prayer is what it really was. It was for them to pray. And so he begins and teaches them, here's a model. Here's how to get things going, if you will, when you're praying. And not only get things going, but I believe to keep things going. I started this several years ago, and I wish I could say every day, but for a long time I was able to do it for every single day of my life. I was able to start my day with the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not talking about just saying it. I'm talking about praying it. And I'm talking about taking the model of what is being said, and that's what we're going to kind of walk through this morning, and making it personal to our own lives. What does this mean for me today? Lord, what does it mean to forgive today? Or daily bread? You're going to see what I'm talking about in just a minute. So, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, before he tells us what to pray for, he tells us a couple things to not do when we're praying. And the first one, he says, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be showy. Don't do it in front of everybody kind of thing, because lots of room for wrong motives there. Lots of room for being showy. So he says, don't be showy, but he also says, don't be wordy. Don't just say the same thing over and over again if you don't mean it. There's nothing wrong with repeating yourself and begging God to do something, but as long as it's not just for the sake of repeating yourself. Because if we ask ourselves sometimes when we're praying, how many times we repeat things over and over again, we go, you know, I really didn't ask for a lot, I really didn't worship a lot, I just kind of repeated something. The way we were taught. And we're not being as real as we could be. So look with me in Matthew 6, chapter 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first part, and we're going to do a jet tour of this whole prayer, and I'm not going to stay long on each one. But the first part is worship. The word worship you're writing down. Or adoration, if you want to take notes. We start our prayer by saying, my Father in heaven. And heaven means what? Doesn't mean he's necessarily above us, but it means he's all around us. It means God is everywhere. He's infinity. He's supernatural. He's all places at all times. He's not only omnipotent and omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, but he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So when you begin by saying, our Father who's in the heavens, you're saying, Lord, I know you're everywhere at all times. And then you're saying, Lord, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Lots of times in Scripture, especially in hundreds of years ago, the people didn't say God a lot because it was such a special name. And it still is. And I think we've kind of worn it out a little bit, the way we say it and use it with meaningless ways and using his name too much. And I do that too much myself. But he's saying, holy, holy, holy is your name. In other words, perfection, perfection, perfection. Purity, purity, purity. Everything that ever was, ever is, you're the uncreated creator. God, you're holy. And this is who I'm coming to in prayer. So when you begin your prayer, and you're talking about praying the Lord's Prayer, when you see this part, or when you start to memorize this part in your heart, think about when you pray, holy, 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 to begin to remember and recite the attributes and character of our God. Hudson and I sometimes lay in bed and Vance at night, and we'll go through the alphabet, and we'll say, Lord, A, and I get a kick out of this. A, you're awesome. B, you're, help me here. Bountiful. C, you're?
Creator.
D, deliver. Thank you, Jane. Anybody else quicker than Jane? D, E, everlasting, I beat you. F, Father, got you again. G, you're good. Got three times, three to three, okay. H, I, incredible. J, joyous Jesus. K, kind, King. L, M, Master. N, O, did I say N? N, noble, O, P, Q, Q, the letter Q. Yeah, we run into this problem too. And where's somebody tell me?
Qualified.
R, Redeemer, rejoice. Somebody else? R, S, Savior, T, Trinity, trustworthy. Alphabet. U, understanding. V, victorious. W, here's another one. X, me and Hudson's like extra special. Y, Yahweh. Z, zealous. Zion. Isn't that cool? 26 right there, you just started with the alphabet. And so when you pray, sometimes just take a minute and go through the alphabet and start reciting, thinking of him as the great shepherd, our Lord, the lover of our souls, our redeemer, our kinsman redeemer, our father who adopted us, Abba, Daddy, and so on. So as you kickstart your prayer, just remember to start out here with worship. Second is, hallowed be your name, but also your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come. All right, where's the kingdom? Where's the kingdom? Somebody tell me. There's this big overarching question among theologians for years is, what is the kingdom? What is God talking about? Dave's pointing down. Right here. The kingdom right here. Can anybody think of another kingdom or where the kingdom is at besides right here? Israel. Okay, what else? Heaven. Another one.
Kingdom that's to be.
Kingdom that is to be. That's what we're looking for too also. Because he's saying, may your kingdom come. So think about this. Let's put some handlebars, if you will, on this part of the prayer. May your kingdom come in me, because we are the kingdom. Understand? The kingdom of God lives inside of us. May your kingdom come in me. May your kingdom come around me, David. The things that are happening in the world, may God's kingdom will happen. And also, may your kingdom come before us. And I think this is the word Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. So we're praying John Evanson's prayer. We're saying, Lord, come tomorrow. Right? Lord, may your kingdom come on. We're praying for your kingdom to come. We're praying for the last person that's going to follow God to get saved so that his kingdom can be ushered in us, before us, and around us. And then he says, not only your kingdom come, but your will be done. Your will be done. We like our wills to be done, usually, right? I mean, that's just where we are. We like our wills to be done, and we have a lot of it. A lot of wills. But when we're praying every day and putting this before the Lord, Lord, not mine, but may your will be done today. And then you personalize it. In our current situation, Lord, may your will be done. And what's going on in my life right now? What's going on at home? What's going on at work? May your will be done. You know what you're doing? You're lining your will up with God, which is ultimately big, big picture, shrunk real, real, real small is ultimately what prayer is. Because he says, you have not because you ask not. And whatever you pray, asking and believing in Jesus' name, you shall receive. It's a promise from God that when we line our will up with his, it's a promise from God when we line our will up with his, it'll be answered every single time. And that's the hard part. That's where we struggle. And that's why the model prayer is for us to line our will up with his. Lord, what do you want me to do in my marriage, in my home, our church? What do you want? What's your will, Lord? And pray, Lord, may your will be done. And then next, and of course he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Quick side note there, God's will has always been brought about in the heavens and the heavenlies. Amen? His angels are being dispatched. The Spirit is moving in places that we can't imagine, in parts of the world that we wouldn't understand, in ways that we might not even comprehend. But God's will is being done. Now that ought to give us comfort, right on? That God's will is being done. It's not going to be stopped. It's not going to be thwarted. It's not going to be tripped up or fallen or not happen because of the enemy's work in the world or what ISIS is doing or what terrorists is doing or what the airplane hijackers are doing. It's not going to happen to what the police officers are or not doing, what other people are doing to them. That is not going to stop the will of God, because God will bring his will to pass, because he's God. And I'm glad that I serve a God that will bring his will to pass. He's going to make it happen. Some way, some shape, some form. I don't comprehend it always, but it doesn't matter, because it's up to God. On earth as it's being done in the heavenlies. And then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Why would the Lord want us to ask for daily bread? I think another reason is he wants us to remember where things come from, where food comes from the fields, from the farmers, from the seed that's put into the ground. That, and he wants us to be dependent upon him, to trust him daily. Sometimes, this may not be you, but sometimes our stash can cause us to stumble and stop trusting God. Are you with me? I mean, sometimes there's a correlation. When you have more money, or you have more resources, or you have more things done like you want it to be done, sometimes there's a correlation where you trust God less. I'm not saying it as an encouragement to have less. I'm saying it as an encouragement to trust God for another day and realize that whatever you have, it doesn't matter. The richest person in the world, the most wealthy person in the world, just look at Ecclesiastes. The wisest person in the world started to get a grip on this, that everything is vanity, no matter what you have. Until hell and destruction are full, the Bible says, the eyes of men will not be satisfied. So whatever you have in the world, and this is layman's terms, this is Jeffrey's version. We're all just one doctor visit, one pink slip from losing everything. Right on? I mean, the farmers, for the most part, that we grew up in South Georgia, farmers are always praying. We used to meet and pray for rain and saw God provide rain, because if he didn't, the fields wouldn't be any harvest, there wouldn't be any money, wouldn't be any food. You see? Trusting God. Praying for God. And I know we here in Alaska obviously do the same thing with fish, right? We're praying for reds. We're praying for more fish. We're praying against the set. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. And he says, give us our daily bread. Lord, we trust you for another day. Today's bread is all I'm guaranteed, but Lord, I trust you for tomorrow. And sometimes we wish it were like the bread in the Old Testament, where he gave them just enough for today. And if you try to store it up, what happened? Can you imagine that? We're being wise. It's rotten. It's no good. Because God wants you to trust him for another day. Okay, next. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The word is forgiveness or grace. As we've experienced the grace of God in our life, then we'll be able to offer that grace to other people. Ultimately, something I'm learning right now in my own life is reading the book of Romans, is that it's not that we sin, it's that we can't stop sinning. We can't, because we're totally depraved. It doesn't mean that God can't help us, empower us, he does, but we have a sin nature. And we often want to point the finger and say it's their problem, their fault. But the truth is, in all of our situations, we're the problem. Because we're human, and we're depraved, and we're bent. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Next, he says, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. When you're praying this prayer daily, begin confessing your sin. And naming it, calling it out to God. And then he says the hard part, as we what? Forgive those who have trespassed against us. Those are the ones that we love to remember, we love to talk about, we love to text about, we love to hold on to, but often it's very difficult for us to let go of and forget them. Are you with me? And that's why we need to call out to the Lord. Lord, bring to mind right now somebody that I haven't forgiven, that's hurt me, that's done me wrong, that cheated me, tricked me, swindled me, whatever it is. And in the power of Christ, you can't do this outside the power of Christ. With the power of Christ, say, Lord, I forgive them. Because you've forgiven me. By the way, Jesus meant this so much, as you look at the very end of this prayer, I think it's in verse 14 or 15 maybe, that he says, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. You want to experience the grace of God in your life and the forgiveness of God in your life? Then forgive others and let them go. And he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A daily prayer for believers can be this, and perhaps should be this, is, Lord, don't let me do anything today so dumb, so stupid, so airheaded, so unwise that I would dishonor your name. There are going to be temptations, there are going to be trials come my way, but my response to them is what's important. It's going to happen, it's a reality. But how I respond to them, Lord, help me honor you with my response to the trials. Howard Hendricks said this, and I always use it in my own life and quote it a lot. He says this, when you're bumped into, what spills out? Because that's what's there. That's what's in your heart. In other words, when someone yells something at you or something mean is done to you, when stress levels get really high, when you're bumped into, does forgiveness overflow? Does peace and compassion come out? Or is it animosity and revenge and spitefulness and bitterness? We're forgiving others. And lead us not into temptation, but protect us from the evil one. I pray, I hope that we're all praying for protection from the enemy. Right on. Pray for yourself. Pray for all these young people in the church. Pray for these right here, these young people. God, protect them from the enemy. You've been there, right? You know what it's like to be this age. You know how difficult it is. Pray for God's protection over them, that God would shield them from the temptations that would cause destruction and dishonor their lives. And then last, this is probably my favorite part of the Lord's Prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Whose kingdom? God's. That means everything is about God. Whose glory? His. That means everything is for Him. And how long? Forever. He has the kingdom that never ends. And then he closes the prayer by saying, Amen. Or in the South, as we say it, Amen. Or what Amen really means, so be it. Lord, when we pray this prayer on a regular basis in our daily lives and we make it personal to our own lives and begin this new year, I just want to encourage you to begin doing this if you haven't. Start praying this prayer every day as kind of a kickstarter to your prayer life and something that really encompasses all that the Lord wanted us to pray about and is part of our lives. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. Lord Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the devil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.